This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. I'm your host, Carm Capriotto, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcast. If you're a fan of our podcast, don't forget, connect with us on social media and subscribe to my Carm Capriotto YouTube channel. All the episodes are there. Hey, did you know that only 2% of our automotive industry is female? Staffing shortages has never been more critical than now. And are we missing a huge opportunity to get women involved? And for the 2% that are involved, what are we doing to retain them? Amazing Woman in Automotive is the answer. It's a safe place for women to support women in the industry with weekly roundtable discussions. Hey, thanks to our partner Napa for providing this episode. Napa Auto Care? Well, they're proud to partner with nearly 17,000 independent repair facilities with the goal to help members sell more needed repairs. Now, it's no wonder Napa Auto Care is the largest banner program. And if you'd like to learn more, get with your Napa representative today. Hey, check out Carmcast 87, Women Shop Owners Roundtable. There's more insights on the female perspective of our industry. Hey, a warm welcome to two of my great friends, Malin Newton, the CEO of ESI, Educational Seminars Institute, trainer, speaker, member of many associations and boards. Hey, Malin.
How are you today, Carm?
I'm wonderful. Thanks for being here. And Tiffany Sherrato is here from Lifetime Transmissions in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and AWIA coordinator. I also found out that you have a dream job. What was your dream job?
Oh, my dream job from way back when I was in college? Oh, I was going to be a marine mammal trainer.
I went love to SeaWorld. I love that part. So you must do really good with your husband, I'm sure.
Well, I'm not married because now I'm in the automotive industry, so I'm married to the business, right?
Let's put this right up on the record, okay? Because I always tell people that, you know, here it is. Of course, I'm married and been married lots and lots of years. And I always said that I had a mistress. And I says, Ann's my wife and the business is the mistress. And because I seem to spend more time at the business. And so to your point, hey, welcome, guys. We're here to talk about Amazing Woman in Automotive. I think that is so cool what you guys are doing. And we want to talk about it and talk about it at the highest top of the mountain. Why are you guys doing this?
Basically, because in 2018, the U.S. Department of Labor put out some numbers that we had 770,000 technicians in the automotive industry, but only 19,236 of them were women. So only a little bit over 2% were female. And as everybody knows, we are experiencing a tech shortage. So why haven't we tried to recruit and retain and support the women in our industry? So that's really the reason: recruitment, support, and retaining.
Every person who's listening, male or female, it just doesn't matter. Tiffany and Malin have this great, great point, and that is awareness of women in our industry. And I'll tell you, I did some research. I thought about this episode a lot. I started to make a ton of notes. What jobs can the ladies do in our business? And it's huge. We have such an opportunity. And as much as, you know, guys, I think we're recruiting technicians crazily everywhere we possibly can think of, and then trying to hold them to higher standards. What are we doing? And that's to my point, is that Amazing Woman in Automotive, what are you doing at the grassroots level with your membership to make the awareness to women about our industry? You know, put it up there.
Well, Malin, you know how he's just an amazing coach and he loves the industry. And so one of the things he did, he came to Oklahoma. We got with the high schools because recruiting these women or recruiting technicians, period, for our industry needs to start young. They need to know that we're here, that we have positions available. Their parents need to know because, of course, they're helping guide them to their career choices, right? And we need to be able to change the image our industry has. And we do that by working with the schools, becoming a part of our community, letting them know that this isn't grease monkey stuff anymore. We need highly intelligent individuals. They need to be educated. We're willing to pay for educated technicians. They can have good, long-lasting, successful careers. And that's the grassroots part of it, is being a part of your community. If we don't become part of our community and work with the schools as shops, we'll fail.
So there it is. Work with the schools. What about the parents?
If you think about it, what does the typical person think about our industry? And, you know, when I went to high school, the counselor sent you to auto shop if you weren't doing good in the three R's. And we need to attract these smart kids. Now, the second part of this is we need to show them that we're not dirty hole in the wall, girly calendar on the wall places anymore, because we want to attract everybody. This is, to me, a form of exclusion, because we're not doing a good job of talking about that we are a viable, good workplace. We pay good wages, and it doesn't matter whether you're male or female. You can make a very good living in this. And there's so many career choices that aren't technical but are in the automotive industry. We need to do a better job of that. And to be honest with you, Carm, one of the reasons why, to me, this is such a passion is I had a shop owner come to me one time, and I'm coaching them, husband and wife team. The husband, very little involvement in the business, because he's actually a technical trainer, a well-known technical trainer. I'm working with the wife, and she comes to me and she says something to me that left me speechless. And for everybody that knows me, that doesn't happen very often. And she says, "Malin, you know, you're female friendly." And I said, "Well, thank you, but I don't understand what that means." And she says, "Well, you treat everybody the same, male, female, what position they are. None of that matters to you. You treat everybody the same." And I said, "Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?" And she goes, "It is. But let me tell you my experience." They were involved in a 20 group. And the instructor of this 20 group belittled her in front of the group so badly, it put her into tears. And she walked out of the room. And I got to thinking about this. The women involved in our industry are extremely valuable, and yet we treat them like they're third-class citizens. And at that point, it was, I need to do something about this in whatever way I can influence the industry. And that's where the idea for Amazing Women got started. We don't have a female-friendly environment. It's male-dominated. It's middle-aged males. We don't think the same way. And, you know, even Tiffany and I, in our conversations, she tells me stuff and I went, "Huh, never thought about that." For example, a lock on the bathroom door. So this is part of my quest to improve the industry. And we're missing a huge workforce. And to be honest with you, Carm, how many repair shops do you know that wouldn't be in business today if it wasn't for the female that's involved in that business keeping them on track? Because we as males, we get focused on the technical side of it and the financial side of it and saving money and budget and all of that. Or how many shops do you know that wouldn't survive if it wasn't for the wife having a good job and supplying the shop with money? We need to get these people involved in our industry. They're smart. They understand money differently than we do. They look at things differently than we do. And we need them, because our industry is changing and we aren't.
You know, every great husband and wife interview that I have done, and oh, by the way, I'll tell you what my stat is the number of podcasts that I've done that have had female influence, 5% of all my episodes. And, you know, you said 2% of the industry, I'm at 5%. That's still not good enough for me, which is why I'm here with you guys and why we have to crash through that paradigm. And I love the stories. Let's keep telling stories for this entire episode, okay? And here's a quick story. Aftermarket Weekly, the show that we do each and every Tuesday, we do it live and we actually see a virtual tour of a shop. We've done 65 of them, okay? And every time I go, you know, to see the bathroom, I see the bathroom for the customers, guess what I'm looking at? Not only I'm looking for it to really look sharp and nice, you know, the baby change, anything, all of that stuff there, I'm also looking to see if the seat is up or not. Because I learned a long time ago about that rule, okay? And then when they show us the bathroom for the staff, I never see the seat down. I always see it seem to be up, and there's only one. So to your point, Tiffany, I think we have to crash through that paradigm of this unprofessional business, dirty, poor culture, terrible environment, going nowhere. And every one of us who's listening to this show knows that's not true.
Right. We have a lot of amazing shops. There's one young lady that had joined the group here just recently within the last week, and she was on our roundtable that we do to support each other. And she was a female shop owner, and she had two female technicians and was looking to hire one more. So there are women and technicians running fabulous shops that are doing an exceptional job, but there's just not enough of them. My facility, I don't have any female techs, but 50% of my staff is female because from the shop forward, it's all female. So we have a nice little mix there. But yeah, I think that's important. It's the diversity creates creative thinking. You think outside the box. It, just like when you have two different individuals having a discussion, they're going to have two different ways of looking at things. So if you have all the same type of people and you run across the same problem, well, now you may not be able to figure it out because there's not that creative thinking going on, right? So there's so many reasons, and we're going to be at ATRA in October talking about some of these things, so I won't get into it in depth, but we're definitely trying to raise awareness. We have a lot. It's an uphill battle. We had some amazing women from the military. We're trying to work with the military right now because there's a ton of well-trained female technicians that are exiting the military, and they have no desire to come into our industry because of the culture and the conditions they were working in. It was dirty. The language was bad. The hours were long. They didn't feel respected. There wasn't anybody there for them to talk to because there may have been maybe two on the base. You know, it just, it wasn't a good feeling. It wasn't a good place for them. And these women, when they were talking to our group, it was like light bulbs went off when they found out, you know, kind of like you mentioned, gosh, if they were tired of wrenching, we could have used them as a shop foreman. Because they're coming from the military, so they're probably really organized and work well with streamlining things, right?
Good disciplines. Wow. I mean, yeah, you're right. I love that.
And they just don't know. And the people putting them in positions don't know. They're not using the skill set. And these women are having to go out and start over. They're telling them, go find a different job. There's nowhere for you. That isn't true. We have lots of spots for them.
Here's an interesting statistic, and Tiffany, you're going to have to clarify this because I don't remember exactly how long it takes a female coming out of the military to get a job versus the man.
Right. Yeah. Let me see. I have that right here. It was, I believe it was 40% of the women exiting the military. It took them over a year to find placement in a job.
Pushback by that. Now, if it's modern times with all this stuff going on, you know, with no one wants to work, or and that's not the case, I don't know about you, a coffee shop just down the road, I mean, a big chain up here called Tim Hortons, $16 just to work the day shift.
Well, here's our problem, is we have a group of trained people who have experience, maybe not exactly our experience, but have experience fixing things. I had a young lady that worked in my office for a long time who used to be in charge of a tank repair squad. And this petite woman was telling me how she lost her front teeth because there were four of them pulling a torque wrench to get 600 foot-pounds of torque on this device, and it slipped. When she got out of the military, that's experience that we could use in the sense that she understands mechanical things, but when it takes a year to get a job, where are they going? We're losing such good experience.
Look, let's draw a line in the sand here somehow. I mean, you know, Malin, Tiffany, the listener, the influence that the podcast has in the industry, and a million things are going through my mind. You know, I see some fabulous videos on from shops, top shops in our industry, that are reaching out, talking about their culture, opportunity, showing how customers trust them, how the relationships are strong. Why can't we get into the bays and look into the camera as shop owners and technicians and say, hey, ladies, this is a great place to work. And start the rumble, start, you know, if you will, planting seeds, because we know it's going to take a long time to shift that paradigm. And if that's just one little idea, are there others that you guys can think of?
Oh, I'm sure. And that's one of the beautiful things about this group and what makes it so different from other female automotive groups that I've been in is it's really driven by the members, the women that are in there. You know, they come up with ideas on problems that they have together. So, I mean, yeah, there's a number of different things that we can do.
Is this kind of like an open forum 20 group?
Yeah, I would say so. And even though I'm the coordinator and the facilitator of the group, I'm as much as a member as these other women. I learn as much from them as they would from me. We just anything and everything you could possibly think of, whether it's something in their home life that there is challenging them, and so they just can't reach that professional peak that they want to be at, or maybe it's something in the shop right now, a transmission that's giving them trouble, for example. We've tackled that. I've got one young lady that got a bill from AAA that found out her rate was going to go from $1,000 to $4,000. I have a fantastic relationship with my AAA guys. So I called them up on the phone and I said, what is this about? And they're going to take care of it. They're going to find out what's going on. I mean, there's just power in numbers and all these women putting their heads together.
Hey, Carm here. Have you ever asked your female employees about their uniforms? Find out why it's important to ask. Hey, it's Carm here with news about the new NAPA Smart Sign, previously known as the digital menu board. I like to think of it like a silent salesman on a TV near your service desk. It's an easy way for you to increase customer awareness of your current promotions and educate them about needed repairs and service. In other words, having a NAPA Smart Sign will supercharge your sales. NAPA Auto Care tests have shown 1 out of 5 consumers ask for a repair or service they've seen on the board. And targeted promotions resulted in double-digit increases. One Auto Care shop owner said, I've received amazing feedback. Customers are actually asking for additional services they see on the screen. Now, that's what I call getting results. You choose the content for your NAPA Smart Sign from a library of auto care services and repair topics. The Smart Sign comes with preloaded content. Just about anything you can think of is available, from alternators and alignment to wiper blades and wheel bearings. There are over 150 topics to choose from. Templates can be customized with your location branding for a professional look. Some of the options include customer reviews from Kukui, DemandForce, or MechanicNet, live news, and even the weather. Whatever content you choose, it's preloaded for you. Just as important, it's easy to change your services, prices, and video content anytime you'd like. Plus, the latest NAPA national promotions are downloaded to you automatically. Of course, having a NAPA Smart Sign gives your auto care center a professional, state-of-the-art look and feel that tells customers, I'm on top of my game. Now, that builds trust, which means recommendations are accepted more readily and customers spend more. Find out more about what NAPA Smart Sign can do for your business. Talk with your servicing NAPA store owner to find out more about the Smart Sign and all the other reasons to become part of the NAPA Auto Care family, the largest network of independent repair shops in the country. Help me understand how the group works. You get together, it's a weekly basis. Now, do you pick a particular topic the week before and somebody leads it or covers it so that there's some depth and immersion in it, say, you know, whatever the topic could be, you know, doing good DVIs as an example, and everybody walks away as a woman leader in their shop and in the industry, smarter than ever, and from the, if you will, the compounded sharing. Is that kind of what it's like?
Yeah, so I will go in with a topic. If nobody has an issue that they need help or support on, then we'll have a topic that we'll all discuss that day together. But then there's some days that somebody comes in and says, listen, ladies, I need some help. I'm having a really hard time in my shop. I've got, you know, technicians that are walking out. You know, I need a service advisor. I'm having issues with my shop management system, whatever it is. And it's only for an hour. So we don't have time to save the world in an hour, but we can maybe help that lady there. It helps them feel supported. They know they're not alone. And that's the big problem, is they feel alone. There might only be one woman in that shop and there's nobody really there to talk to. So they log in once a week, they meet with us, and all of a sudden there's a group to support them.
So how does anyone get involved?
So they can go to our website, amazingwia.com. They can find our page on Facebook. Be sure to like our page. And then if they are female and they want to be a part of the roundtable group, then they can find our free roundtable page, ask to join. And there's a link in there that they can join every week. It's 1 o'clock Central Time. And some ladies come every week. Some of them come once a month. It's very casual. If you can only come in for 30 minutes and take something away, come in for 30 minutes, you know, for part of your lunch. But we're going to have to bond and get together. And again, it's the power in numbers. I can stand here and I can talk to you and I can talk with Malin, but nothing happens unless we all come together and change the industry. So that's really what Malin's doing here, is he's giving us all a platform to speak.
Carm, something that we have to understand is that women talking to women, it's different than if there's a male involved. They're more open, they're more honest, and they also don't have us guys who are fixers trying to fix their problems. I learned a long time ago, much like we were talking, you've learned a few lessons, is that I need to stop being a fixer and be a listener. And so here's a chance for these young ladies to get together and communicate with nobody trying to fix it for them. Just listen to them. Feel their pain, if you will. And it's kind of funny, because when we first started doing this, Carm, I had a male shop owner call me up and was angry at me because he joined the forum before we have it set up the way it is now. And the facilitator asked him to leave. And he called me up angry. He goes, I want to know what they're talking about. Why do you care? Well, I want to know what they're talking about. And I'm thinking about having my service advisor get involved in this, but if I don't know what they're talking about, I'm not going to do that. That's the narrow-mindedness in our industry. So we're giving the ladies a chance to talk amongst their peers. And I don't go to it. I'm not invited to it. I actually popped in for a meeting. I had to ask Tiffany's permission. This is about them. And we do have plans for down the road of maybe doing some kind of retreat where they can get together in person and maybe bringing some female leadership speakers in to talk with them. We're in the process now of turning this into a nonprofit so that we can help the industry. My goal is eventually maybe to give some scholarships or sponsorship or grants to allow some of these women to attend industry events. So we eventually we're going to be looking for people who want to help us open this industry up for women at the school level. And I'm going to tell one little story about my trip to Oklahoma, and then I'll give it back to Tiffany. I did my class, technology and auto repair, and it was at a high school. And afterwards, a young lady came to me with her mom. And she told me, she says, that was really amazing. I didn't realize the technology involved in auto repair. And she goes, you helped me make my mind. And I said, okay, what does that mean? Explain that to me. And she says, well, I was really thinking about going into engineering, but I like cars and I work with my dad and I really want to go in the automotive industry now. And I said, well, great. You know, myself, Tiffany, anything we can do to help you. And she said, thank you for coming here. And I said, you're welcome. She walked away. Her mom comes up to me and says, I was 100% dead set against her getting into the automotive industry until today. And I realize how progressive and how computer-oriented this business is, and I think it would be a great fit for her. Thank you for coming out and talking to me. And that made me think how many thousands of young women are being steered away from our industry because their parents don't understand our industry.
And that's what I mentioned early on. We've got to get to the parents, not only, again, it goes back to technicians in any form, male or female. It doesn't, you know, the whole service side, how many shows have we done? And people are out at a restaurant, they have a great waiter or waitress, and they have that people skill, which is something it's tough to teach, right? Between me and you, I think there's more females that have that customer service people skill. I was thinking of the Powder Puff seminars, Malin. I think you probably know them, when we'd bring all the females into the shop and we just hold it, you know, here's how you fix a tire if you're on the side of the road and those things. We stopped doing them years ago. Now, there's some shops that are doing it. And they are very, very forward female friendly. But I think it's time to start with the selfish reason behind it is to teach the parents to teach their kids.
Absolutely. We need to step back and go, if I were the parent of a young lady looking for a career, would I want them at my shop? Is my shop appropriate for a young woman who wants to be successful? Will she be able to get an education? Will she be able to advance, you know, in this facility? And if not, we kind of need to look at things if we want to be successful moving forward.
I love what you said about being a listener and not a fixer, Malin. I think you kind of nailed it. And Tiffany, let me ask you, when you're facilitating your meeting, it's all the women who are contributing solutions or leadership regarding situations that people are in. So there's no guys in the club.
Nope, it's all ladies. And like he said, there's a lot of listening. There's a lot of listening and then people coming forward and saying, I'm not telling you how to fix it, but I want you to know that I've been in that position and this is what I did. Not everybody's shops are going to be exactly the same. And you'll find that there's a number of solutions for the same problem. And that's what makes it so great is they can take away from the meeting something that they can help them. Because like Malin was saying, well, that guy's going to go, well, this is how you do it. No, this is what you need to do, right? And to your point, they're good with customers too, because they listen. Sometimes the customer comes in and they're angry and they just need to vent. And we'll just listen.
Let's talk about that here in a second. But I just thought of this Rodney Dangerfield thing. How many ladies that are in the 20 group bring up, maybe on a weekly basis, I get no respect?
I see it a lot in the tech groups, the female tech groups. Ladies being real upset about that. Like Malin had mentioned before, not having safe and secure restrooms. You know, even when we built our shop, we didn't really think about it. I have one restroom that has a urinal in it, right? So I have another restroom up front that they can use that's locked and secure. But these aren't problems that we have because we have bad people. It's just that our industry has been a certain way for so long that we just have to start opening our minds and realizing, look, things are changing. We need to shift and change the way we do things. Things are going to have to be a little bit different for us to move forward.
We absolutely have to embrace this. And since we have talked ad nauseum, Malin, about 60% of our industry's customers are female, we haven't taken that mental trip and moved it in, internal. You know, and I'm sure when you're working with clients about sales growth and, you know, all the right things you have to do to be sure that your female customer is confident and secure in the relationship that you're building and the things that you're saying and speaking, do you ever say, what about the internal thing, the internal customer, the employee? How many females do you have? Is it female friendly? How often do you go there?
I go there quite often. You know, after the 2x4 hit me in the forehead, I go there a lot more. You know, Tiffany actually brought this up. How flattering are the uniforms that they're in? No man has ever said this is unflattering. So we give them the same uniforms that we have. They don't fit properly. They're not comfortable. And it's like the light bulb went off. It was like, you know, and here's the thing, Carmen, I know better. My wife worked in a dental business and the doctor decided one day that he was going to put everybody in scrubs. He never talked to any of the women. And this office is 100% women except for him. He put all the women in scrubs, purple scrubs. And they referred to them as the Barney suits. And they were so angry at him that his productivity and his customer service plummeted. How hard is it to say, Tiffany, what would you like to wear? You know, you choose your uniforms. You choose the female staff uniform so that they feel comfortable and proud to be in them. And, you know, when we started talking about a lock on the bathroom door, it was like, yeah. Because my daughter's favorite saying now is these rules were made by old dudes. And unfortunately, our industry is filled with old dudes. And we need to attract young people, not just females, but the whole group. And they think differently. And we put up a lot of resistance to thinking differently.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm a female technician or a female service advisor. And I say, oh, thank you so much for that uniform. Now I look like one of the guys.
Right. Well, if you think about it, if you had to wear something that was oversized or baggy on you and you had to work in it all day, right? Just that one little change makes you feel better. And like Malin says, the productivity goes up because now you're not tugging on your clothes, trying to make sure your pants aren't falling down, you know, whatever the case is. And it was kind of funny because one of the things that had come up in one of the tech groups for ladies that I was following this weekend was female mechanics that are pregnant. They don't have maternity pants. They're trying to hold the buttons up with some kind of a string or straps, and everybody was posting their pictures of how they're trying to make it work, you know? And these women, they're wrenching when they're pregnant. They're dedicated. They love what they do. So if we can do little things like that to make them feel better and it makes them feel appreciated, imagine, Carm, if you went home to your wife and said, honey, I'm going to take you shopping. I bet she'd just love you for that.
A long time ago, she set the record straight. I buy all of my own stuff. And then one day, in my first year of marriage, and I can't tell this story right now, I have to tell you about buying a negligee for my wife. And it is a story, you'll be on the floor rolling around if I explain it to you. So it is, and that's another point where I realize that us guys aren't good at doing that stuff.
Well, you know, it's funny, Carm, because Melissa, a.k.a. Birdie, is involved in the marketing side of this. She's very involved in AWIA. And so her and Tiffany, because we're getting ready to go to a trade show, and we're talking about handouts at the trade show and banners for the trade show, and you know, we're investing a lot of money to put on a good presentation at the trade show. And they go, what do you think? Whatever you guys want, because I think about it so differently. It's like, whatever you guys want, send me the bill. Whatever you guys decide on, I'm okay with. And see, that's my lesson I've learned. You know, is whatever you guys want. You know, they're talking fingernail files, and it's like,
well, just what I want.
Screwdrivers be better, but you know.
But when a female technician breaks that nail, she will love that nail file, and that's the kind of stuff that you just don't think about.
And you're staring at our logo as you do it, right?
That's right.
Where's my amazing woman in automotive nail file?
We'll get you one, Carm. We'll get you one. Okay, and we have a sewing kit, an eyeglass repair kit coming, and we're gonna have all the things.
Wow, all the good tchotchke, huh? That's great.
We're working on a decal so the shop can say that they're part of Amazing Women. We're eliminating a huge workforce by not opening our minds up to the women in the industry. And you and I both know there is a lot of very strong women in the industry currently, but they don't have a place where they can be themselves and talk about it. They're dealing with old guys. And we tried to give them a format where they can go be themselves and talk open and honestly about the things they need to talk about.
Hey, I know some ladies that are in all women 20 groups and they compete. And you know, they may not necessarily be the sole owner, but the husband and wife, and you know, they're both equal leaders, but they found a home to be able to bring value in that partnership. And I love what many, you, Malin, and other bigger coaching companies, now any coaching companies at all that have embraced the partner, the female lead into their organizations.
We need to understand how powerful those women are. They're more organized. They definitely understand money better. And they bring a different thought process to our industry, every facet of our industry.
I just thought of something about the money. Honey, we haven't cashed a bunch of paychecks. I got to get involved in the business. I got to find out why. And I'm just saying that as a notch, if you will, to say why the ladies are so good at that. Because, you know, if there's money in the checkbook, fine. It looks like I'm making money, but I haven't paid all the bills because I'm not paying attention to that. I'll tell you, I think the woman partners and the ladies that have gotten involved in their, I'm thinking, I mean, 8 or 9, you know, businesses are going through my mind where the lady was the savior. I mean, they've been on my show saying that. And so I think you're spot on. Amazing Woman in Automotive. Is there a website we should go to?
Yes, it's amazingwia.com.
And we can sign up there?
Yes, there's links. There's all kinds of information about us and about Birdie. Everything we do, we'll have our events. So the information about us at ATRA is on there. If anybody's going to be at ATRA, we'd love to meet you. We look forward to that, being back live and in person, being able to see everybody's faces. If you want to be part of that roundtable group, there is a link there, but you can get on Facebook. If you have a Facebook account, look up the Amazing Women in Automotive Roundtable Group. That should pop up for you. Request to join. You do have to request, because like I said, it's ladies only, so I don't want men in there. It's a private group so that they can share their feelings, whatever that may be, and not feel like they're going to be judged or somebody else might see it that they don't want to see it. So
we can get a hold of you, Tiffany, at amazingwia.com. Is that true?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or just email me at tiffany@amazingwia.com. It's T-I-F-F-A-N-Y, just like the jewelry.
And if there are any men out there that are upset about this, don't call Tiffany, call me. And let's talk about it.
Blame it on Malin?
Absolutely. Well, this was my, you know, brilliant idea that I realized that I couldn't lead. So that led me to Tiffany. So I am the brawn behind the beauty, if you will.
Oh my, who knew where we were going to go with this? But, you know, and to think of all the great roles that are being played at our counter with the ladies, the service advisor woman, and I'm not singling that out. There is an awful lot of people that say a good service advisor is not gender specific. It's not. I get that part. But they're playing phenomenal roles in our business.
It's not gender specific, but Tiffany brought it up. They're better listeners. They don't have a problem asking for the money. They don't take things personally. And you know, I call them dragon slayers. My greatest dragon slayers are females who came from the hospitality industry, because you can't teach customer service. And they're not car geniuses. They just understand people and they know customer service and they listen.
So anyone, go to my website, type in Malin Newton, and just how many episodes we've done together. Thank you also. Thank you so much for that. And he tells great stories about going to hotels and recruiting women.
Stealing people
to join our industry. Yeah, just phenomenal stuff, including Colleen. Am I right?
That's correct.
Colleen Yeager. Oh, my God. What a great episode we did with her. Hey, guys, thank you so much for this wonderful insight on Automotive Woman in Automotive, AWIA. Malin Newton, the CEO of ESI, Educational Seminars Institute, for the spark behind this. And for Tiffany Sherrato from Lifetime Transmissions in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Running Point.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing us to be on here and spread our information and share the message and hopefully recruit a lot of amazing young women.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.